All right, let's turn to Proverbs 10:2 this morning. Proverbs 10:2, the second verse of the 10th chapter of Proverbs. And we're going to park here in this proverb, for it is full. And it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers or delivereth from death. Now, when you and I hear that word treasures, it is very easy for our minds to bring up pictures, various pictures, various thoughts concerning that word treasure. Now, what does that word treasure mean to you? What does it mean to me? Now, as a boy, which was a very long time ago, I remember well reading the thriller novel, Treasure Island, by the author Robert Louis Stevenson. Now, that story is told in the first person by a lad named Jim Hawkins. He lived in an inn that was operated by his mother, called the Admiral Benbow Inn. And Jim Hawkins shared these adventures from start to finish. The story was a story of a quest for pirates' treasures. And it had characters with these kind of names: Blind Pew, P-E-W, Black Dog. I mean, if you're a pirate, you got to have names like Blind Pew and Black Dog. And then that most infamous of all pirates, that crafty, peg-legged Long John Silver. Old Long John always emphasized his words by the inclusion of that strange word, arg. Always said arg. Maybe he had a bad back, but he always said arg. Oh, that would put fear, don't you suppose, into the heart of a young boy. But that word seemed to be popular among pirates. So that word treasure was early implanted in my mind to indicate something that was material, something that you could touch or see or feel. Treasure in my mind was part of this world, something to be sought, something of great value, something that men would risk their lives in seeking. And when you read that thriller, oh, how they risked their lives for that treasure chest on Treasure Island. But as is the case in most understandings from a worldly standpoint, my understanding was very far afield from what God's word tells me about treasure. For true treasure is much more than what this world tells me it is. My, how the treasures of this world draw people to them. But God tells me that the treasures, the true treasures, are not of this world. Now, this word treasure is not only a noun, but it is a verb. And according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, in the noun form, treasure is wealth accumulated. Treasure is a great quantity of anything that is accumulated for future use. It is something very much valued. Now, in the verb form, treasure means to hoard, to collect, to deposit either money or other things for future use, to lay up as to treasure gold or silver. Now, one of the commonalities of the word treasure in the noun and the verb form is that the word treasure is connected with future use. Now, Jesus had no problem with people having treasure or people treasuring something, for he also told us that treasure was for future use. Where is our treasure? Where is your treasure? Is it laid up for future use? But Jesus Christ cautioned us in its care. He told us to put its care in his hands, for his care is to be the First National Bank of Jesus Christ. For he told us in Matthew 6:19-21, to lay not up treasures for yourselves upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Do you have anything that's not wearing out? Or do you notice little signs of things wearing out in your life? Well, you look in the mirror, for one, and it's easy to see things wearing out. And perhaps you put on that old sweater, and you see a little piece of it coming out. It's wearing out also. Or perhaps you look at your house that was painted 4 or 5 years ago, and it's not as bright as it was when you painted it. Why? It's wearing out. God has made this world to wear out. God has made you to wear out. Why put your heart in things that wear out, is what he's saying here. So don't lay up treasures on earth where thieves break through and steal. And then he says to lay up this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My, how profound that is, and how opposed that is to the way of the world. So location of our treasure is paramount to its security. Where you keep your treasure determines its endurance. Treasure is that which you desire to hold onto for future use. And our Lord presents us with a way to do that. You know, the Bible is full of the way of the Lord. And the Bible is full of the way of man. And the way of man has been constructed by Satan. And Satan always has a counterfeit to God's way. And he says, lay up your treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And God says the opposite. But God's way avoids the loss of treasure upon earth where destruction by moths and rust and its taking by thieves takes place. As far as our treasure is concerned, the First National Bank of Jesus Christ guarantees its safety like no other bank or repository. It will never go bankrupt. It will never lose its deposits. If we desire to keep our treasure, Jesus says that there is no better place to keep it than by laying it up in heaven in His care. He is the eternal banker. Now, this instruction reveals to us that which we commonly call treasure is not treasure that our Lord calls treasure. We can easily lay up silver and gold and money and property into the hands of those who say they can guarantee its safety on earth. But how do we send that gold and silver and money and property to the bank of heaven? How do we make such a deposit? That's the rub. That's the enigma. That's the puzzle. Our proverb talks about treasures, but it defines a particular kind of treasure. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, our proverb calls these treasures, treasures of wickedness. Now, the treasure that Jim Hawkins and Long John Silver sought fit into this kind of treasure, for it was treasure that was accumulated by dastardly deeds, by the thievery of pirates. It was treasure that diminished the treasure of others in favor of those who had not labored in its behalf. It was what we call ill-gotten gains. It was not accumulated by honest labor. Now, Solomon tells us that this kind of treasure will profit nothing and therefore cannot be deposited in the bank of heaven. This kind of treasure has a stink upon it that reveals it as ill-gotten. We can easily see that this kind of treasure is not a lasting treasure. But how about this question? Can we also clearly see that any substantial earthly treasure also can share this same fate, for it cannot be deposited into the bank of heaven? Proverbs 23:5 warns us of such things. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know, I think if you asked Mr. Madoff if his treasure flew away as wings, he'd say, yes, my treasure made off. It made off. It's gone. It was that which was not. Now I languish in a cell, thinking about all those whose treasure made off as wings. So even honestly gotten treasure can profit nothing for future use. If you see your future from an eternal perspective, if you don't see your future from an eternal perspective, you have treasures, you've gotten them honestly, you've labored for them, but if you don't see them from an eternal perspective, they will profit you nothing. Now, you may profit from those earthly treasures, in your earthly sojourn, but treasures that were gained by evil means will bring sorrow to your present life. But those that you profited from honest labor and not turned over to God will do likewise. We can read of this in Habakkuk 2, 6, 7, and 9. Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? And thou shalt be for plunder unto them. In other words, if you take plunder, there will be others who will take your plunder. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. So God has ordained a day where the fruit of unrighteousness shall be taken away, for there is to be no profit in the treasure of wickedness. You know, you think about Naboth's stolen vineyard. Did that profit Ahab? You think about the 30 pieces of silver that Judas got by turning the Lord to his enemies. Did they profit Judas? Did the ill-gotten gains celebrated in the lavish banquet of Belshazzar deliver him from the handwriting of doom on the wall? These treasures were anathema to their holder and resulted in death. Now we may say to this great and lofty amens, and we may agree that ill-gotten gains will profit little. But what about the gains gotten through hard and honest labor? What is their end? Is there any profit in their end? What becomes of riches gotten in an honest way by honest labor? What of those riches? Well, their end is told in the ending of this proverb. But righteousness delivereth from death. So this is what opens a savings account in the bank of heaven. This is how the treasures that are accumulated on earth can reach the security of heaven. Now that bank that is up high does not deal in your gold or your silver or your dollars or your property, but it deals with treasures that are eternal treasures that can be gained while on earth by being righteous. So the matter boils down to somehow transferring wealth gained in this life to the next. We know that the treasures of wickedness cannot be transferred, nor can the treasures accumulated by honest hard work be automatically transferred. But Jesus told us to lay up our treasures in heaven, so we know that it can be done. But how is this done? It is done by righteousness. Now, righteousness is purity of heart, which moves a person to an exact conformity to truth. Righteousness is the love of truth, the love of truth, the love of God's word, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth. It is conformity of heart and life to God's divine law. It includes all that we call justice, honesty, and virtue, with holy affections for what is true and right. It is what we call true religion. And we know that this can only be realized, this righteousness can only be realized by appropriating the righteousness of another, the man Christ Jesus. For in me and in you dwelleth no good thing. So it must be appropriated from another. I can only be righteous by being in Jesus Christ. And by being in Jesus Christ, my actions can be righteous actions. And only in this state can I transfer wealth to the bank of heaven. So what is this wealth? What are these treasures? One thing we know is that Jesus told us to not lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. From this, we can conclude that earthly wealth can be the seed plot of heavenly wealth. He also told us that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. John Wesley, who lived in 1703 to 1791, said this: "When I have money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible." I suppose all of us can, maybe we say, "When I have money, it flies away by itself." But John Wesley said, "When I have money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart." Isn't that good? Lest it find a way into my heart. If our heart, that is, our affections, our hopes, our expectations, are given to God, then that is where our treasure will be. And that treasure becomes incorruptible. It becomes undefiled and does not fade away. It has a reserved sign placed upon it by God and is kept in heavenly vaults by the power of God through faith. This is the house built upon a rock. But on the contrary, if our affections, if our hopes, if our expectations are focused on this life, then that is where our heart will be. And it will be a heart of disappointment, for all that is valued on earth will decay and fade away. As I said, God has so made this earth, God has so made us in this body to wear away and be lost and be faded away. This is the house that is built upon the sand. Jesus told us clearly upon what to build our house. In Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to the young man who wished to know the way to eternal life, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Look how simple it is to have treasure in heaven. Not hard. You don't have to go through some process of signing all these papers, but give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And by the way, follow me in all that. So our lesson from Christ is not to keep what God has given to us for only our use, but to distribute it to those in need. Now, as we've seen in recent weeks, there are many in this world that give to those in need, but that giving will not transfer into the accounts of heaven unless that giving resulted from following Christ. That which reaches the bank of heaven has to be given from the body of Christ. Christ's body, you and myself, are God's ministers on earth. If you are in that body and are obedient to Jesus in distributing to those in need, that earthly treasure will transfer to heavenly treasure. Remember the ground of the rich man who brought forth plentifully. But the rich man only thought of himself and how he was to amass his great bounty of fruit for his use only. His last command on earth was to build bigger barns in order for his soul to rest easy in this accumulation of much goods. But his soul did not rest easy, nor did he take those barns with him to his long sleep that happened that night. For God said to him, "Thou fool." You know, that's what God thinks of those who accumulate great treasure on earth and think not of God. He calls them fools. And you know, if you're a child of God and you get to heaven and you see the treasures of others that have been accumulated in heaven, you'll say to yourself, "Oh, how foolish I was for not sending forth my treasure from the earth." For God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Where do the big barns go? You know, we were talking about that the other day. There was a grocery store chain that had been built in this area for 60, 70, 80 years. And the old folks died and the young people got it. And they said, "Happy days are here again. We're going to sell all this hard labor." They took the money, no more grocery chain. To whom do the barns go? To whom do the treasures go? The Lord is asking. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself. And then he says, and is not rich toward God. Being rich toward God is to release your hold on that which God has put in your stewardship. And in doing so, you will send forth treasure in his direction. Paul told Timothy to include in his preaching this same message of being a hilarious giver. That's what the Bible asks of us. Be a hilarious giver, not a giver that gives reluctantly, but a giver that gives joyfully, knowing that your treasure in heaven is accumulating. But he told Timothy to include in his preaching this same message in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now look at the contrast between what Satan's world system broadcasts and what God broadcasts in His Word. Satan's world has all kinds of financial advice regarding your assets and how to amass them and make them grow so that when you come to your golden years, they will indeed be golden. Satan, too, says to lay up in store for yourselves. But he means by that to lay up earthly treasures. God says, lay up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. Satan's golden years are here on earth. God's golden years are with him in heaven. We are not to think the world's way, but God's way. We are to prepare for our true golden years. God requires faith. Satan only asks you to operate by sight. Satan abhors, he hates any faith in God, and all that he does is against that faith. His is a world of operating by sight alone, so that God has no pleasure, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Remember the story that Jesus told in Luke 16 of the clever steward who had wasted his master's goods. The master intended to fire him, but before this took place, the steward went to all the master's debtors, and by wheeling and dealing, he made arrangements for them to feather his nest when he was no longer employed. Now, what he did was patently dishonest, was wicked, but the master was impressed by his cleverness. Jesus told us that the children of this world in their generation are wiser than the children of light. He commended them for making arrangements, and then he said to those who followed him, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, that being interpreted this way, in other words, make friends with the money that the Lord gives you as a steward. This does not mean buying friends, but it means to use the money in such a way that the friends that come will be saved and in heaven, and that upon your failing, upon your death, they will welcome you as the friend who used the Lord's money in their behalf. In other words, use your treasure to feather your nest. This passage infers that God's children are mismanaging the Lord's money and not using it as an eternal investment, but are using it only on temporal things. The Lord knows we must have temporal things, but he also says, lay not up treasure for yourselves. The steward figured out a way to use his Lord's money for his own benefit. And Jesus is saying to his children to do the same with the money they are given to steward. Feather your nest in heaven. My, how we feather our nests on earth. The Lord says the higher priority is to feather the nest in heaven. Spurgeon said in his exposition of Psalm 2, oh, that men were half as careful in God's service to serve him wisely as his enemies are to attack his kingdom craftily. Sinners have their wits about them, and yet saints are dull. We ought not to be dull. The Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword, and you can be as sharp and not dull if you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, help us to get our priorities straight. Help us, Lord, to think with the eyes of faith, not thinking of our elderly years, but thinking of our eternal years. That's where the investment ought to be. Do bless us now as we go to our service. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.